What happens when a society turns the murder of children into must-see TV? In the nation of Panem, built on the ruins of North America, this isn't a hypothetical question. It's an annual ritual. The capital, dripping in wealth and excess, forces each of its 12 impoverished districts to send two teenagers into an arena where they fight to the death. Only one can emerge. The rest become entertainment, their final moments broadcast to a nation forced to watch. This is the Hunger Games, a punishment for a long-ago rebellion and a reminder of who holds power. 16-year-old Katniss Everdeen never imagined she'd become a tribute until her 12-year-old sister's name echoes through the town square. Without thinking, Katniss volunteers to take her place, stepping into a nightmare designed not just to kill her, but to make her death compelling television. Panem's structure reveals how tyranny sustains itself through spectacle and scarcity. District 12, where Katniss lives, produces coal while its citizens starve. She has become her family's provider since her father died in a mining accident, illegally hunting beyond the electrified fence with her friend Gail. The reaping system itself weaponizes poverty-hungry children, can enter their names multiple times in exchange for meager grain and oil, increasing their odds of selection. At 16, Katniss's name sits in that glass bowl 20 times. When Prim is chosen despite having only one entry, the cruelty becomes personal. Katniss's volunteer act sparks something unexpected. Her district responds with a forbidden gesture, three fingers to lips, then extended outward, a silent salute of respect and goodbye that hints at solidarity surviving beneath oppression's surface. Her fellow tribute is Peeta Mellark, the baker's son who once deliberately burned bread and endured a beating to secretly give the loaves to her starving family. This unspoken debt between them transforms their forced competition into something far more complex than simple survival. The capital reveals itself as a grotesque wonderland where citizens gorge themselves on elaborate feasts, then drink potions to vomit so they can eat more, while districts starve. Their escort, Effie Trinket, chirps, "May the odds be ever in your favor," with pink-wigged obliviousness to the horror she perpetuates. Haymitch Abernathy, District 12's only living victor and their mentor, initially offers nothing but drunken cynicism. Yet when Katniss and Peeta prove their determination, he reveals the game's true nature. Survival depends as much on winning sponsors as on combat skills. Tributes must become characters in a story, compelling enough to earn gifts that might mean life or death in the arena. During his televised interview, Peeta drops a bombshell. He's been in love with Katniss since childhood. She feels betrayed, exposed, until Haymitch explains the strategic brilliance. Star-crossed lovers from the same district create a narrative that distinguishes them from mere killers. Suddenly, Katniss must perform romance while preparing to kill or be killed, blurring the line between genuine emotion and survival strategy in ways that will haunt her long after the game's end. When the gong sounds, 24 teenagers sprint toward the cornucopia, a horn-shaped structure filled with weapons and supplies. Most die in the initial bloodbath. Katniss flees with minimal supplies and a backpack that stops a knife meant for her. The arena becomes a character itself, a manufactured wilderness where game makers manipulate everything from water sources to weather, forcing confrontations when audiences grow bored. Katniss's hunting skills provide advantages, but survival demands more than competence. It requires choices about what kind of person she'll be when killing becomes necessary. She forms an alliance with Rue, a small girl from District 11 who reminds her of Prim. When Rue dies in Katniss's arms, killed by another tribute spear, Katniss stops playing the game. She sings a lullaby as Rue fades, then decorates her body with wildflowers, an act of defiance broadcast across Panem. This gesture resonates so powerfully that District 11 sends Katniss bread, an unprecedented gift crossing district lines. In refusing to treat Rue as merely an obstacle, Katniss unknowingly plants seeds of rebellion. A rule change allows two tributes from the same district to win together. Katniss finds wounded Peeta camouflaged among rocks, dying from infection. As she nurses him in a cave, their televised romance becomes the central narrative. She performs affection to secure sponsor gifts, medicine, food, supplies, yet during their kisses, something genuine stirs within her, a hunger unrelated to survival. PETA's love is unquestionably real. He entered expecting to die, but determined to save her, having admired her since childhood. His selflessness contrasts with her pragmatism, highlighting different forms of strength. The ambiguity is deliberate. Can genuine feelings develop under surveillance and manipulation? When they defeat the final tribute and the game makers revoke the two-victor rule, Katniss suggests they simultaneously eat poisonous nightlock berries. Faced with having no victor, the Capitol declares them both winners. This act, framed as desperate love but functioning as defiance, becomes the spark igniting revolution across Panem. Surviving the games doesn't end the nightmare. Victors become prisoners, paraded annually, forced to mentor new tributes, isolated by wealth and trauma. Haymitch's alcoholism reveals decades of desperate coping with guilt. President Snow privately threatens Katniss's family if she fails to convince everyone her berry trick was love, not defiance. Yet rebellion spreads. The 75th Hunger Games forces victors back into the arena. This time, tributes fight the system rather than each other. When Katniss destroys the arena's force field, she executes part of a rebellion plan she didn't know existed. District 12 is firebombed. PETA is captured and tortured until his love transforms into murderous hatred. Open warfare erupts between the Capitol and District 13's rebels. Katniss becomes the revolution's symbolic mockingjay, though she discovers President Coin mirrors Snow's manipulative tactics. When bombs disguised as aid kill Capitol children and medics, including Prim, Katniss recognizes the rebellion risks recreating tyranny. She assassinates Coin instead of Snow during the planned execution. This choice, principle over revenge, represents her evolution from survivor to moral agent. Years later, Katniss lives with PETA and their children, though nightmares persist. She lists every act of goodness she's witnessed, not to erase trauma, but to acknowledge that compassion exists alongside cruelty. This complex resolution refuses easy answers, while affirming humanity remains worth fighting for. The trilogy resonates because it addresses timeless struggles: individual survival versus collective resistance, media manipulation, trauma's lasting impact, and revolution's moral compromises. Collins never suggests violence lacks consequences, or that destroying systems guarantees better ones. Yet, within this portrait of human cruelty, she affirms that small acts of defiance can spark transformative change. Like Katniss, we cannot escape history's arena, but we can choose how we navigate it, with cruelty or compassion, for personal gain or collective well-being, accepting injustice or imagining different possibilities. Maintaining your humanity when everything pressures you to become something less may be the most revolutionary act of all. The games never truly end, but neither does our capacity to refuse their terms and tell different stories about who we might become.